Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Thanks for joining me. I have a special guest this week. Well, I've got a special guest every week. That makes it sound like none of them are special. Well, just this one is this week. But Beth Marcato is the author. Well, she's many things. She's an ordained minister, humanistic psychologist, and she's also an author. She's written a book called Whispers of the Soul, Ancient Wisdom Made Simple. Beth lives in Garden, Michigan, at least part of the year, but she's also from the Philippines. And she's on the phone with me today. How are you doing, Beth?
Oh, wonderful. It's just beautiful to be here.
Thank you so much for joining me. Now, what caught my attention is that Beth was in Escanaba recently, and somebody made me aware that she was part of this World Laughter Day. What is that, Beth?
Well, every year, people all over the globe, not just in Escanaba, all over the globe, they come together to laugh, to promote peace and brotherhood.
Hmm. And laughter is good for the soul?
Yes. In fact, I always say that laughter is the song of the angels, the music of the soul, and an expression of the divine. Because God is a comedian, and his audience has forgotten to laugh. How is that?
That's brilliant. So you think the next place we're going to go to, there's going to be a lot of laughter?
What do you mean by next place?
Well, I mean, let's say I go to heaven, if you want to call it that, and God's going to be laughing at me and saying, I can't believe you did all that stuff down there. Thanks, though. Thank you very much, TJ. That was great.
Yes. I believe there are a lot of laughing souls in heaven, just having the fun of the time. And by the way, heaven is not just somewhere. It's right here.
It's right here, right now.
It's right you make it.
Hmm.
Right today, right now. I'm in heaven. You know why? I have the privilege and the honor of being in your show, and thank you so much for this precious opportunity.
Well, I'm glad to talk to you. I mean, we talked last week a little bit, or the week before, and just your friendliness, your personality, and I like the thing about laughter because I really support that. I'm always clowning around, and I believe, you know, I'm not trying to make people laugh. I make myself laugh, and sometimes they laugh at me, and I guess I am trying to. I'm kind of a clown, but I just love that. I love that feeling that you get. Like you say, what did you say? It keeps you joyful and keeps you...
It keeps you young. And it lessens your stress. And when you laugh, you know, I'm just thinking about this now. When you laugh, kind of, because it lessens your stress, so the illnesses that are around you, they do not come in. Because you're surrounded by that shield of laughter and joy, and what can be more important than joy and laughter as you go through life. It doesn't mean that you're foolish all the time.
No.
When it's time to be serious, you're serious.
Right.
However, when the time comes, you gotta laugh, and laughing doesn't just mean jokes, but it's making fun of yourself and of life itself, because life for me is a comedy. look at us.
Really, it is. Now, you've been an ordained minister for how long?
Oh, I was ordained in 2000.
Okay. And you also, what other things do you do? Humanistic psychologist?
I'm a humanistic psychologist. This psychology is just my foundation for everything that I do, because the reason I got into all this is I am a stroke survivor. And so to heal me, I learned all kinds of, knowledge, and I went into all branches, into several kinds of branches, like psychology and metaphysics, and then into the laughter, because I wanted to heal me. I wanted to know how come I had a stroke, what happened, and you know what? I learned many, many things.
So
this time I'm giving it to the world in forms of services. That's why I'm a psychologist, I'm a minister, I'm a counselor, and I do all kinds of workshops and classes to help humanity, because I've learned through my own experience that, like, for example, meditation, if I practice meditation, I am calm, and the wisdom that I'm talking about in this book, in fact, my book is a product of my meditations. Somehow in the past, when I would sit down to meditate, things will come to me, like, one of this, or in the segment, I would like to read some of my writing.
Sure.
And in fact, can I do that now?
We'll do that in just a moment. We got a few minutes to go before the end of the break here, so maybe okay. Just get a little more background. You're from the Philippines?
Yes. It's a beautiful country. However, it's poor, not poor really, developing. We call it a developing country.
There's a lot more poverty there than you would find here?
Oh, yes, definitely.
The people that are, we think that we have it pretty bad here in some spots, but my son went to Iraq and served over there for a while, and he said the poorest of the poor here don't know what true poverty is compared to some other nations.
Yes. In fact, the last time I was there, I don't know if you were aware of the different typhoons in the Philippines.
Yeah.
And people lost their homes and their lives and their livelihood, and I would just cry whenever I would watch the news. And like your son said, you know, the poorest of the poor in some countries, they do not even compare with the poor people in America.
Would you say
being poor here is actually sometimes being okay in other countries?
Would you say that the people, even though they're desolate, and if you want to call them that, or they don't have a whole lot, would you say as a whole that they're happier in some ways?
You know what? My son grew up in America, and one time he went to the Philippines. And he said, you know, Mommy, they're poor, but they're happy.
Mm-hmm.
It is because they help one another.
Mm.
They are... And I noticed that too in America, when there are disasters, people get together and help one another.
Right.
And so in the Philippines and many developing countries, they're always helping one another. And that's why I say it's communal living in the Philippines and also in other developing areas, because they need to help one another. But then in America, people are affluent.
Mm-hmm. Affluent.
They're wealthy in many, many ways, and so they become kind of isolationist. Mm. Because, you know, I don't need anybody because I'm well provided for, right?
There was a time in this country when I think people were more connected. We all helped each other out, like you're talking about. You know, and maybe that was more back like a century ago.
Right. Yeah. Even during the pilgrim days, they helped one another.
They had to survive.
Yes, and then somehow because of the progress, now I have my own, you know, my own life, my beautiful job, my beautiful family, and I don't need anybody. You know?
Well, not only that, but aren't we? Do you think we're disconnected because of all our materialistic mentality?
I believe that there's a disconnection because again, it's because of the affluence, the richness, the wealth, of course. Now things are different, and I call these days as a global awakening, not only in America but all over the world,
mm-hmm.
that we need to change the way we deal with one another, the way we use our natural resources, because like water, if you keep on just using water, and even if you don't need it, or electricity, the lights are on, the TV is on, the computer is on, and then before you know it, there are limited natural resources because we didn't take care of them.
Mm-hmm. So in this country, you see a lot of that? Do you see a fair amount of that, you would say, compared to other countries?
Say it again, please.
You see a lot of that in the United States compared to other countries that maybe...
Because of the affluence, again, I say, that people kind of forget that, hey, this is not limitless.
You know, I think
what's happening is this, let's wake up. Let's take care of our natural resources. Let's take care of one another. Because pretty soon, you know, all these things might evaporate into thin air, and then where will we be unless
Beth, I was going to say also that a lot of it is media-driven. People are driven because this whole society is built on capitalism, and so you have to buy, throw stuff away, because, you know, the advertising, that even the government kind of pushes you in that direction. So part of it is the culture itself is driven in that direction. We're going to take a break. Beth Marcato, she's from Garden. Actually, she's not from there. She's staying there. You stay there for just a little while, don't you?
Yes.
And we're going to continue talking to her. She has a book out. She's an author. She's an ordained minister, humanistic psychologist. And we'll continue talking to Beth in just a moment on Out There.
Out There. Out There. Out There. Out
There. Do you want help in coping with life's challenges? Let this recently published book be your guide, Whispers of the Soul, by Dr. Beth Marcato, psychologist, pastoral counselor, and many other things. This book is filled with wisdom and inspiration about life and the human experience, soul, and spirituality. Here are some comments about the book from people of all walks of life. And I'm quoting three of them from Joy Salgado, as a minister. Reading this book makes me feel wondrously alive because it invites me to hear my inner joy effervescing. From Cordy Siddiqui, registered nurse, it mirrors one's life and surprisingly lifts one's being to a higher plane of existence. And now from Marion Harriman, retired preschool teacher, kindergarten teacher, it is a lovely read. It is very something to match any mood you may be experiencing. I'm giving some as gifts to my special friends. To make the price easy on the budget, this book can only be ordered online, www.outskirtspress.com/whispers. 20% discount is available for orders of 10 copies or more. www.outskirtspress.com/buybooks.
Those of you that maybe didn't quite understand what Dr. Beth said, it's outskirtspress.com/whispers.
It's Out There, Out There, Out There, Out There.
Thanks for joining me, my guest, Beth Marcato. She is from the Philippines. She's living in Garden, Michigan. She was at an event in at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church, I believe it was, just a couple weeks ago, where she was out there doing a World Laughter Day. That's how I found out about her, from Maggie. And then she said, hey, you might want to talk to her. I said, actually, I was interested. I said, I want to hear what she has to say. She started telling me a little bit about you, Beth. And I thought, she sounds interesting. Somebody I can put on my show.
All right.
I thought it would be kind of neat to get your perspective on things. Now, you wrote a book, Whispers of the Soul, Ancient Wisdom of Made Simple. Now, when you say ancient wisdom, where does this wisdom come from?
You know, we're born with it.
Interesting.
This is my belief. This is my inherent belief that we are born with this ancient wisdom. And the reason we're not aware of it is because, remember, when we're in the womb, this is a perfect place. And then we come out and somebody spanks us. Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing that happens. And you say, oh my gosh, you know, I feel so loud when I was in the dark place. Now I'm here, it's so bright, and people are not nice.
Yeah.
And then you go to school, and you have to deliver. Whereas you loved in the womb, now you got to deliver. And if you don't deliver, you're no good. You're no this, right. You're that. Or maybe your parents go to a church that tells you you're this, you're no good, you're a sinner, got to repent. All this stuff, or maybe your environment, they say all kinds of not so nice things, and before you know it, that ancient wisdom is covered deep, and that's why we go to therapy, we go to counseling, in order for that wisdom to come up, because it's just there, really, you know, waiting for you to tap into.
Everyone's...
And I have an ancient wisdom I want to read, a short one.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay?
Yeah.
The true mission. I go into the woods to seek communion with my Creator. He asked me to go back where the traffic lights are. That is just one of them. Can I read some more?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. And this one, when I was taking my PhD courses, I stopped by the ocean, and I was by the beach in California, and these words came to me. Living in truth, when I look at the world through the purity of my being, I see only beauty around me. I see the wondrousness of each person I meet, the young, the old, and those in between. And of course, I also acknowledge my own greatness. I feel the glory of the sunset, the excitement that sun rays brings, the expansiveness of the ocean, the romantic appeal of a fresh, newly bloomed yellow rose. I hear the magnificence of the waves. I even admire the tenacity of a milkweed to keep on living. When I allow divine love to be quickened in me, I express only love through my thoughts, words, and actions. Mm-hmm. At times, the human part of me gets into play, blocking my view and my feelings. I become aware of whatever it is that gets in the way and let it go. I then go up to the level of my divine self, where I become one with the divine. Then, all is well again. I see, feel, and hear, and touch eternity, and this wonder called life. Blessed be.
Wow, that's really good. You know, and I can relate to the part you said. I mean, there's so much of it that you could take from that, but I know when I'm in that state of joy, which I guess is how I see God or being connected, is this great state of happiness and joy. Just this, it fills you. You can't describe it with words.
Yes.
And I just love everything. Even the people that used to tick me off for years, I love them. It's like I'm in a happy state of joy. Nothing can upset me at that point. And that's, to me, just getting a small glimpse. And I really don't have it accurately. You know, I don't know if you can feel it 100% while you're here. Do you think you can feel it? When
yes,
we're actually...
why not? That's why meditations, spiritual studies, and all the good things that we do every day to uplift us, then we're always in that point of joy.
I mean,
the human side of us, of course, like I said, it gets into play and it blocks our views, but then we just become aware of it and say, okay, what can I do now to get me back to the joyful state? Because the joy is the natural state of our being. Look at a baby. I mean... she's just smiling all the time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, usually babies are. And we're drawn to that, aren't we?
Yes, yes, because that is us. Right. That little baby always smiling, just giggling, that is us. And the part of us that's kind of miserable right now, maybe, we say, oh, okay, what can I do now, you know?
Now, do you think, Beth, that if we're filled with joy and happiness and love in our heart, do we draw in more of the same with our attitudes and our feelings? Do we get more of the same?
Yes, because in the same way that kindness begets kindness, joy begets happiness, happiness begets joy. And for me, happiness is the temporal part, meaning the human part, happiness. And joy for me is the heavenly part, the divine part of us, because joy is the natural state of our being, I keep on saying. Remember when I said, or I have this thing about my book when I launched the book. I'm still launching the book up to this point. I say, life is not meant to be a painful experience, but a glorious existence. Life is not meant to be a painful experience, but a glorious existence.
Yes. One would think so, but at times it sure doesn't seem that way. But
yeah,
that's...
yeah, I know, because I know, because the human part of us is always doing all kinds of stuff, you know. And yet the divine self is always there. Remember, if you're into the... well, I don't want to go into the religion, but in spirituality, it's you're made in his image and likeness. Who made you? I don't know who made me. God made me. And God made me in his image and likeness. And what is the image and likeness of God? It's joy and power and beauty and harmony.
So not the physical aspects.
Physical aspect is different, though. And
so
that's okay.
When they say God made, you're made in the image of God, it's really maybe not intended to be that, is it? It's more intended to be the non-physical aspects.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. That's why when you read some kind of a verse somewhere, you know, it doesn't mean... remember what Jesus did? He didn't really specifically put into the physical aspect, or he just showed his lessons through through, I can't find the word, but not really physically, but he did all kinds of stories in order to point out something. So this image and likeness, that doesn't mean the physicality. It's more the nine, like you say, the nine aspects of humans.
Mm. Stuff we can't see, but we know it's inside of us, all, the,
yes.
all of that.
And it's always there, just ready to be tapped into. And even if you don't believe it, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And you is know, there I'm not. I went back to the Course in Miracles.
Okay, of course.
It's one of my spiritual disciplines, and it says, hey, you don't even have to believe this. Just do it. It's there. No matter what you do, it's there.
It's still there. And it doesn't. Does you think it's there going, now you need to do this. Come on now. What's
wrong? No. Although in my human self, I always tell myself that. I say, come on, Beth, wake up. Or do it, Beth. Because the human self needs some coaching, some nudging, you know, some inspiration so that it can get out of the physical realm and go to the heavenly realm, to the heavenly realm where everything is possible, then where joy is there and peace is there and love is there and all the other good things that our souls long for.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the physical aspect is different. It wants this, it wants that, and then the spiritual realm says, okay, let's get moving here.
You know, we're going to take a break here. My guest is Beth Mercado, and her book is Whispers of the Soul, Ancient Wisdom, Made Simple. And we're going to continue. Now, maybe in this next segment, if you don't mind, maybe there's some people listening to this show that are just down and out, and maybe we can give them an idea what direction they can take. Can we do something like that?
Okay. Specifically, like what? Oh, in fact,
we'll do that for
my book. Actually says about helping, coping with life's challenges.
Okay, good. We're going to take a break, and we'll talk more to Beth in just a moment. You're listening to Out There.
Out there.
You know, I love to clown around, and I love to laugh, because to me it is. It truly is. It's healthy, and it makes you feel good, and just there seems to be a spiritual connection I can't explain. But Dr. Beth got me thinking. So, you know, my day show is where I goof around a lot. And here was, you've heard of this guy, and I thought this is amazing, and I think it's probably true. This yogi who went 70 years without eating and drinking. Well, the other day, we got him on the line. Wink, wink, if you know what I'm saying, on my radio show.
All right, Mr. Yogi, are you with me?
Hello. It is a pleasure to make your acquaintance.
Is this the world-famous starving yogi?
That is correct.
Now, how do you manage to go 70 years without eating?
Well, I try not to think about it.
You know, speaking of eating, the other night, man, we had some really good pizza.
Oh, please stop it. Do not speak of this pizza. I must transcend my desire for food.
Yes, you must. And the other night, also, I cooked some steaks on the grill. They were perfect.
Oh, that sounds incredible.
Yeah.
Wait. Stop this at once. I know what you're doing.
You know, my specialty probably is those baby back ribs on the grill.
Ooh. Oh, ribs, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I want my baby back. Stop. Look what you've got me doing now.
Sorry.
You're a horrible person.
Sorry, but you need to focus.
Yes, I'm trying.
But I'm going to grill out tonight and make some more great food.
You're killing me.
Wash it down with a Dr. Pepper. Mm.
Wouldn't you like to be a pepper, too? Yeah. Be a pepper. Oh, come on, everyone. We're all going to Applebee's. I hope you're happy. I'm sending you the bill.
This is Rosalind Elena McGrath of Intuitive Learning Creations, and you're listening to Out There with TJ Ryan.
My name is TJ Ryan. You're listening to Out There. Beth Mercado from the Philippines, living in Garden, Michigan. What are the odds? She's only, I don't know, 40 miles away, 40-some miles from where I'm at doing this broadcast. And she was at a church in Escanaba. Somebody told me about her. Maggie said, hey, you should check this out. We talked about it on the radio. And then I decided, well, I'd really like to talk to Beth. I like what she has to say. Anything positive, anything that makes you feel good, you know, filled with love, a message filled with love, joy. To me, these are all things that ring true to me. Maybe not everybody, but to a lot of us. And that's why I'm glad she came on the show. Thanks for being on, Beth.
And thank you, too. It's quite a privilege. Thank you for the honor of giving me the opportunity to spread my message that life is a joy.
Yes, and I don't know if I should call you Dr. Beth or Your Holiness or what
you... Just call me Beth.
And so she's also a humanistic psychologist. She's an ordained minister. But we were talking about, and I thought it would be maybe a good thing because I got to believe there's a lot of people today that are stressed out more than they ever were. I think we're facing more of that in our just in the world, you know, the way things are, especially in this country, because of unstableness. And so is there a way or do you have some suggestions as to how people can lift themselves out of maybe some moods that are hard to get out of, some negativity?
Yes. It's called expressive arts. And in fact, it's now the mode in many medical or healing facilities. Expressive arts are writing, singing, dancing, and then the laughing, of course. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing as you write down how you feel, they somehow, because these feelings of not being there, really, you know, these feelings of lack of joy, lack of joy, and you just don't want to move, you just don't, your ideas or your dreams are now tainted with this thing about what is it for anyway. Well, expressive arts can help alleviate the feelings of loneliness or uselessness or just not being able to be there in life. And like I said, expressive arts, just write them down, because these feelings just need to be noted. They just want your attention. Mm. Just like a little boy or a little girl just telling her mother or his mother, watch me, watch me. These are the same things, yes, you know, these feelings wanted attention, want attention. So when you write them down and then maybe dance your loneliness away, the depression away, or maybe even call me, mm-hmm. call any trusted person so that you can just express whatever's there, because I call those emotional ways that we can express to anybody that we trust and who love us and who does not judge us when we say, oh, life is really yucky at this point. Just talk it out. Express your feelings.
Is there something like powerful just by releasing it? That's part of what you're saying?
Just get it out of your system and look at it. And when you look at it, like by writing or sing it out or dance it away, and then use affirmations, if you're familiar with affirmations, mm-hmm. they're positive words that maybe they don't mean anything to you right now, but the savior inside of you, because I call that survival instinct, mm-hmm. will be able to come into the picture and listen to you and help you.
Mm. Very
Can I read something about that?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, waiting no more. And again, these are ideas that will come to us, you know, in that low point. I say here, I have held back from living, waiting for this special person, waiting for that magical time to love and live well. And here it goes. Instead of waiting for that marvelous person, for the right moment, for the enchanting place, it's time to live and love well, wherever I am. And for I am the amazing person, the enchanted moment is now. The charmed place is right here, where I am. And I understand it's a little tough when you're in that low point, but the magical part of you will come to your rescue.
Hmm. That's just really, it's good to hear things like that. Not even if people know them, just as a reminder.
Yes.
And I need those reminders from time to time. It's like, okay, everything's good. I feel great most of the time, but then once in a while, all right, this didn't work out. And then somebody like yourself will come along and I'll talk to you and it's like, oh yeah, that's right, I feel great. Things are good. And it's how you perceive it. The name of the book is Whispers of the Soul, Ancient Wisdom Made Simple. And you wrote this book. When did you write this book?
I've been writing through the years.
Okay.
And I always carry a notebook with me, and I just write them down. And then, when I got married, I shared it with my husband, and he said, "Hey, these are good. Why don't you publish?" And then, even when I do workshops and classes, people say they are good. They help me, and I have a special friend who even put them on, like, on the refrigerator to remind her.
Mm-hmm.
And so with all this nudging, I finally decided, okay, it's time to publish. It's my legacy to the world.
Mm-hmm.
That is what the whispers of the soul came to me. Mm-hmm. It's your legacy to the world, so it's time to write.
I think
and that's why they're in a book form now.
I think we all can tap into that, and we can all hear those things, but most of us don't take the time to do that.
Yes.
And how do you do that? You slow yourself down, you meditate, you get quiet.
Yes, yes, and then the ideas that come, the wisdom inside of me comes out, surface, and I just write down the ideas, that's all.
Has this...
Yes, okay, that's why I would like to kind of, is it time for me to make an infomercial?
No, we're not ready for that yet. We're still doing the show. But that's
okay.
Good. That's okay. We still got about 3.5 minutes left. But that's good. We will do the infomercial, and you'll be able to say whatever you want. But we were talking about, because you've traveled, have you pretty much traveled all over the world? I mean, how did you wind up in Garden?
That's a good question. I was having the time of my life in California, you know, teaching, and because I'm a licensed metaphysical teacher, and I was teaching classes and doing workshops, and this guy came into my life, and he lives in Garden, and I don't even know that there's such a place as Garden. We were friends of long ago, and when I came here for the first time, I said, oh, who can ever live here? It's so isolated! And you know what? I live here.
And how do you like it now?
I'm a people person.
Okay. So you miss some of that. You miss some of that.
Yes, yes.
And you don't like the isolation as much.
Well, to tell you frankly, I just need this maybe when, you know, for a brief period. But after a while, I got to be with people, smiling with people, doing my classes and my workshops and... just being with people, because I'm a people person. In fact, at the back of my book, I say, I'm a lover of life and of humanity.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I also find it, though, what's cool about being up here, because I've been here most of my life, is this is a place you can come and recharge with the natural surrounding.
Yes.
And that allows us to re-energize.
Right. And then afterwards, I got to go and see people.
Then you got to spread the word.
I do, because I have a mission.
Mm-hmm.
Life is a joy.
Mm-hmm. And we all have, would you say we all have missions too as well, Beth?
Yes, yes, I believe so, but then we get so, before I became a psychologist or a minister or all the other things that I was doing, I was really eking it out, you know, earning a living, and so we get lost into the human realm of working and providing and for relating with our families and making sure our families are okay, and then we get so stressed, and then before we know it, we forget.
Mm-hmm. And we lose our way a little bit, and it's so easy to happen when you're working long hours.
Yes.
And then you have a home, and you got to take care of that.
Yes.
And just if you have a family, you got to take care of the kids, and
yes,
it's so easy to get lost in all that. And I think, how often would you say that people should reconnect with themselves?
Well, I really believe that for you to really be able to tap into that strength, your inner wisdom, your inner spirit, you got to do it on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Even like 10 minutes. 10 minutes out of 24 hours, that's not a whole lot.
No.
But then because of the stressful way we do our things, you know, look, going after the mighty dollar, then we lose it. And we're just in there in that stressful situation. But if we tap into that inner wisdom and just be quiet, don't even call it meditation, because sometimes people put all kinds of meanings to the word meditation. Just say, my quiet time, to reflect.
And then do you hear a voice?
Me, I get ideas. I don't hear the
nobody's saying,
voice.
Nobody's saying, Beth.
No.
Beth.
But you know what? There was a time when I practically heard a voice. Because I've been fighting my mission. Because like you were saying, attending to the house, the family, to the career, I've been fighting it, and then I heard it. It's time.
Time to listen. What is your website? Do we have that?
Yes, drbethhealing.com.
drbethhealing.com. Your name is Beth Marcato. My guest this week, an ordained minister, humanistic psychologist, and also many other things, but including the author of Whispers of the Soul, Ancient Wisdom Made Simple. Thank you very much for being on my show.
Thank you, too. It's an honor and a privilege for me to be here.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.